in your personal opinion, looking at Chad and I.
All right, let's not go there.
we'd make it as professional. No. What do you mean? No.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hubby's chubby, chubby's hubby's.
I was going to say, it depends on what you are promoting.
Wow. Chunky and hunky. That's
chunky and hunky. All right. Moving on. So,
welcome to the Between Two Beards podcast. A Bloomsburg Christian Church podcast to get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some who have been following Jesus for decades and others who are just beginning their walk with him. We are a family united by the saving grace of Jesus. And we are your hosts, Mike,
Noah.
Welcome back to another glorious episode of Between Two Beards. Today, helping me steer the ship is a man that has a country named after him, Chad.
Well, thanks. Flown over it once or twice. It's been Rwanda. But today we have the Flynn family. We have David and Crystal with us. And so we're excited to get to know them. They're newer members of our church who've been coming for about a year now. And it's just a blessing to have them here. And so we're excited to hear a little bit about their story and how they met and how they grew up, and we're going to go from there. But
all right, well, why don't we go ladies first? Crystal said she's extremely comfortable and ready to rock and roll in our pre-meeting.
That's exactly what I said.
Crystal, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, high school, what was life after high school?
Okay. So I grew up in Philadelphia, and I was raised Methodist, Baptist, non-denominational. We went to a variety of churches.
What part of Philadelphia?
Northeast Philadelphia.
Oh, it's important.
Yeah. And so it was a really – I actually loved growing up in the city. It gave me a lot of really great experiences. But church-wise, it was always a struggle. So my parents, unfortunately, they didn't have the healthiest marriage, and getting to church was always a battle. So when we did go, we went to, mostly from what I remember, Methodist church, and I was baptized there. I remember doing confirmation, just kind of going through the steps, never really knew what a personal relationship with Jesus looked like. Unfortunately, my mom was a first-generation Christian, and my dad, he knew God, he didn't have a personal relationship either. And so we moved to the suburbs, Plymouth Meeting, in the middle of eighth grade. So it was like I went to the same elementary school up until eighth grade, and so it was a really awkward time to transition to a new area. Trying to find my place in high school was, the middle of eighth grade into high school was hard. My mom got me plugged into, my brother and I plugged into a youth group at a church that was local. But unfortunately, both high school and in the youth group, 90% of the kids were involved in like smoking and drinking and just a lot of not great things. And so while I was raised with really good morals and values, it was just really hard to navigate. And I ended up falling into the pressures of all of that.
You were going to a public school?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Public school. And so, yeah, it was, I really tried to be like, do what was right, but I just kind of fell into peer pressure and got wrapped up in a lot of that, especially because like my dad, unfortunately, condoned some of it. And all of my extended family, my brother, my youth group, we had two youth pastors, and one was this sweet old lady. And another one was unfortunately a man who just spurred on a lot of the drama and not so great things going on in the youth group. So it was really unhealthy, unfortunately. But that was into high school. I think you said kind of stop there for now.
What was after high school looking like?
So after high school, I went So unfortunately, because of my parents' unhealthy marriage and unhealthy high school relationship, I just wanted nothing to do with men. I wanted to be Miss Independent. And so my main focus was just on that, on money and, you know, really school. And then once I graduated from college, I actually went, ironically, went to Bloomsburg, and David did as well, but we didn't meet in college. It wasn't until later on that our paths crossed, but so I was so focused on that and just getting a job. So I had, my degree was in education. I love teaching. So that was a really great thing. I was still, despite getting mixed up in the wrong crowds, I still was a good person. I was still a good person. And I don't know how to say that. I don't want to, like, I'm not a horn tutor.
So hold on. Let me just follow you a second. So you graduated from high school at Plymouth Meeting.
In Plymouth Meeting. Yep.
And you went from there to BU, or were there
actually, I'm sorry. Yes. I did go to Pennsylvania College of Technology. Okay. And that was honestly mostly because my boyfriend at the time was going there. As well as I did not have to take my SATs to go there. I got really bad test anxiety. So it was just a way. And they had a great...
You come to the right place.
That's what I was gonna say. You're in the right place.
They had a great education program as well. So I knew I wanted to be a teacher. I really loved working with kids. And so that kind of led me.
So you were there for 2 years?
So I was there for 2 years, and then I transferred to Bloom because they only offered an associate's degree.
What caused you to go to Bloom?
They offered a bachelor's degree. I did. I was just looking for a good school that was not too far from PCT. Another friend who was a really good person ended up that we connected. We both were kind of looking at colleges together and ended up making that transition to here together. So I really enjoyed my college experience. Like I said, I was so focused, though, mostly on school. I was taking 18 to 21 credits a semester. Definitely did, like, the partying on the side, but mostly like school. And then also with after that, then was just focused on my career, trying to, like I said, be Miss Independent.
So were you teaching somewhere?
So I was. So I taught for a while preschool. My degree is education, early childhood, and LED, but I gravitated towards the little ones. I really loved working with children with autism too. So I worked as a mental health therapist for a while. So those were really rewarding. It's definitely for the love, not for the money. Yet again, got distracted by the ways of the world there, though. So in getting distracted by the ways of the world again and just, you know, focus being on money, I had taken on a few side gigs. I worked security. It was a lot. It was interesting.
You were really scared.
I know.
Yeah, where are you working security, Knoebels?
I learned a lot of really cool self-defense moves.
Oh.
And I flipped a guy that was larger than you, and it was like really cool, and I loved it.
Safeguard
really...
is good.
Right. So don't mess with me. No, I'm just kidding.
That was in Philadelphia, right?
That was in Philadelphia, okay. Yeah. So I ended up gravitating back towards the city and got mixed up in the like restaurant bar industry. So that's where the security came in. I was bartending. Just pretty much anything to make sure that I was able to provide for myself and not have to rely on anyone. So I was doing security, bartending, waitressing, promotional modeling. And then that's what kind of led into a promotional modeling management position. And so then I ended up working my way up with this company and oversaw a team of 20 promotional models. That's where like I just shifted and ended up leaving the education field and just was making way more money than I ever could, especially in my field.
In your personal opinion, looking at Chad and I.
All right, let's not go there.
We'd make it as professional. No. What do you mean? No.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hubby's chubby, chubby's hubby's.
I was going to say, it depends on what you are promoting.
Wow. Chunky and hunky.
Chunky and hunky. All right. Moving on. So you have a sibling? You have a brother?
I do. I have a brother.
Okay. And are you the elder or the younger in the order?
I'm the older. Yeah, okay. We're about a little over a year apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to shift gears David.
Okay. So I'm a local. I was raised in the Bloomsburg area. Went to school at Central Columbia, graduated from there.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, right? Go Jays. Grew up, let's see. I mean, my main thing growing up was just playing sports. That was kind of my life growing up. So I did everything, but mainly soccer, basketball, and tennis were my three main sports. And so outside of school, that's kind of what I was just enjoying and loving and doing that. As far as like how I was raised in the church, I was raised Catholic. Went to church every Sunday, prayed before the meals, before school, but that was, most of where that, my, relationship with God and, kind of stopped there. It wasn't really more than that. It wasn't like a deep kind of personal thing. I look back and I know my parents would say that they, tried their best. I mean, and they surrounded us with, good home life, kind of like Crystal too. I had good morals. I had this innate desire to want to do well, do good, make, my parents happy. And, fortunately I stayed out of trouble, most of my, younger life too, which was good. But just raised in that Catholic tradition and,
And then doing my research before, I think you have a twin brother.
Yes.
Any other siblings?
I have a twin brother, and then we have one older brother too.
Okay.
Yeah. And we kind of learned through his mistakes a little bit, so.
Don't do that or I'm in trouble. Yeah,
my brother said the same thing to me.
and not to say anything bad about him, but he kind of got mixed up. Maybe it's the older sibling thing, I guess. I don't know. It mixed up into some of the stuff that...
We're the independents.
Yeah, exactly. But like Crystal, my older brother was very hardworking, dedicated. He worked like three different jobs. He was just really, committed and wanted to, provide for himself too. So there was some really good qualities about him too. But we just kind of learned through a little bit, like I said, from his mistakes and kind of stayed on more of a straight and narrow path, which was good. But never was introduced to anything else besides Catholicism. Both my parents, they were... Although they weren't like necessarily growing up like deep, devout, let's involve God in our lives on a daily basis. It was, that's all they ever knew. My parents met at a Catholic high school, and were together since age 15 or 16.
Wow.
And then both my mom's whole extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, my grandparents on that side, everyone's Catholic. Same on my dad's side. Like, everyone's Catholic. Mm. So, and with a few, maybe stragglers here and there. So it's all I ever knew. So the thought of ever even leaving the Catholic Church was just like not even in my mind, until I got to college, where I went to BU. I was there for my 4 years of undergrad and then 4 years of grad school, cause I went for audiology. And, so I went to Campus Crusade for Christ and started meeting some people that was just like, wow, these people are different. Seeing some kind of like passion and fire and love that I just never really, saw before. And so in particular, there was one person who started talking to her, and she asked me one day, well, what's your testimony? And I was like, I don't know. I got baptized as a baby.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure. I had a hard time answering that question. And so she shared her testimony with me. I can still remember. It was very impactful, that conversation. And I remember even saying that night, I said, man, that's really cool. Like, I wish God gives me a pretty cool testimony. And so I learned from that moment, you got to be careful what you
careful
pray
what
for.
You yeah. Yeah. I heard that, bro.
Because then from that point, God put me on a path and a journey that I started asking questions for the first time and saying, okay, God, where do you want me? Where do you have me? Where are you leading me? What are you calling me to? And it just really exploring my faith and my own personal relationship with God, which was so new. And as I was kind of going on this journey, my older brother, who I mentioned, he had some relationship issues where he ultimately got to a point where he was with his now wife, who was raised Baptist. Hmm. And they were having like deep conversations about their faith. And so my whole immediate family was, because of that, and with seeing me a little bit, they were digging deeper and deeper and deeper into their Catholic faith.
Wow.
And so here I am, I'm kind of like drifting off and kind of like wondering, like, is this really what I'm being called to? While my immediate family is even greater, you know, holding on to it. And they just love the, you know, nothing to say bad about Catholics, but, you know, that tradition and that, the love for the church. And there's a lot of awesome things, great qualities about the Catholic Church. But they just really dug in deep into that, which made that journey, right, that time in my life, unfortunately, even more challenging, because I was like, man, like, can I leave the church, like this Catholic Church? Like, I was like, I didn't know if I could really do it. So I would go and I would ask this girl questions and see what she had to say. And then I would go back and ask my brother and then ask my parents, hey, what do we say? What does the Catholic faith say about this? And I'll go kind of go back and forth, ping pong in it. And I'd be up losing sleep. And I it was just this really difficult time. And then ultimately, I remember being at a Newsboys concert. It was like a Christian festival, like a mini creation festival kind of thing. And, the main singer at the time, I forget his name, after they do the crazy drum solo and the whole thing.
Upside down and everything. Right.
Which was really, really cool. He was speaking and what he was saying to me about, I can't remember now at this point the exact thing he was talking about, but it just led me into a place where I just felt like a total peace. I just had to say, God, like, I got to surrender everything to you. I feel you calling me towards something different than the Catholic Church.
I loved how you just said, though, in that you just said, he was saying to me, isn't that what Jesus does with people, though, all the time? He speaks, we hear something, and you took that as he was just speaking to you that day.
Yeah.
And that's what God does.
Yeah.
And Jesus speaks to us through people all the time.
Yep.
And so that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just saying.
You're right. It's that always amazes me how massive, how crazy our creation is, our galaxy, the whole galaxy and everything else. But he's so personal and so intimate that he wants that personal connection there. And so that led me into then the next phase of, okay, how am I even tell my family this? And so that was the hardest conversation.
Were you still in college when this was happening?
Yes, I was in college, the undergrad at that point. The deeper level part of it is too, was that I started falling for this girl and I didn't want my decision to be based on feelings for this person because I knew, hey, I begin to realize, you know, the only promises in this world that are eternal are God's. And so if I'm not going to potentially be with this person, or if she were to make a decision at some point to say, hey, I want to be with you, I need to be so strong in my decision that I can't be like faltering. Am I going to go back to the Catholic Church if she decides to say I'm out? And I didn't want that. So I came to that resolution for myself to say, yeah, no matter what, I feel God's calling me here. So ultimately that's the decision I made. So glad I did. It led me to though, I thought that was going to be the biggest part of my testimony, but it got even crazier because, you know, and it's before I even say this, it's like one of these things where, it comes off. I think I still fight this because there's a level of the enemy wants me to still to this day feel ashamed for what happened next, but it's not, because it ultimately brings God so much glory. And I learned through what happened over the next 5 or 6 years that I learned so much about my identity that I never thought I would ever before. I thought I had this plan. I was looking to my parents about how you meet someone, you get married, you stay together, you have a family, everything's good. I was raised in this little Bloomsburg bubble. I was trying to live that way, trying to maintain control. I end up actually marrying this girl. We stay together for a while and things seem to be going okay, but not great all the time. We're still kind of younger. We're still figuring out life. But then she starts hanging around with some teacher friends of hers and gets into the bar scene and this and that. And this is the girl that, that made me like, oh my gosh, this passion for Lord. And I just saw something so different about this person. Now suddenly is going out and doing different things. And I'm reading messages that were just very compromising to any kind of relationship. And, it unfortunately led to a point, or I should say fortunately, actually, she finally admitted to having an affair and she filed for divorce. And the amazing thing was, before all that even transpired, she came to me and there was a situation where I said, hey, something's got to change and I can't live like this. We got to make a decision. She leaves and doesn't come back for almost a year. So for almost a year, I was sitting in an idle state of not knowing what was going to happen.
Wow.
Every day I would have to go to work. Every day, not knowing. Every day, and I had no idea where she was. She barely would talk to me. This is the person that you're supposed to, you know, say your I do forever for. And I was committed to that. I took that very seriously. Divorce was not something that I ever like thought I wanted to, or never, I knew I never wanted to do. But it was so out of my hands. I was completely out of control. I whatever I did just wasn't working. And that's the decision that she ended up making. So for a year I was again feeling just like totally lost, but God's hand was in that, because right before she left, I had joined our church youth group to help lead the high school guys. And looking back at it, oh my gosh, that was such a rich time. If I didn't make that decision, this was literally, I joined in January. She left in February.
Wow.
If I didn't join in January, I was thinking about this as I was kind of preparing for it. I wouldn't have joined after the fact.
Right.
Like I would have been like so focused on myself and what am I going to do? Or I would have maybe gone somewhere else. But through that, it gave me inspiration. It gave me something committed to stay committed to. I was helping these guys. They were helping me. We were doing weekly, you know, youth group nights and the worship. I was getting extra worship time. We were doing camps and, you know, it was awesome. God purposefully had me there. I think not just to help the senior high guys, but it was for me too.
Where were you living when all this was going on?
Oh yeah. Thanks. Actually, I forgot to mention that. So, my ex lived down in the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
So when I moved down, when I graduated and we moved down there, it was kind of cool how this worked out too. Through their family dentist, she had a patient who was who owned an audiology private practice. So I got connected to this private practice through the dentist, which got me the job that I was, you know, down in that area. Which worked out great. I loved it there. It was so cool. I loved working with patients.
Was that in Philly or?
That was like outside of Philadelphia area in Lansdale.
Lansdale.
Area. Yeah. Okay. And then got connected into this church, Keystone Fellowship. And that's where I got, you know, plugged in. And then got put into the youth group there. And it was just, yeah, it was awesome. Worship, and this is true for both me and Crystal. I mean, I always loved worship, but every song when you're going through something like that, when you're just like, God gave me the strength to even just get out of my bed today. Like you're on your knees. You're like, I have nothing. And then like, and you're just questioning and you're just doubting and you're like, what's going on? Worship gets so intense that I'd be crying every single time almost, you know, I'm thinking like, I remember good Father and hearing the words of like, you know, he is good. And it's who I am. I am your son. And, focusing on the truth and really, you know, deepening, you know, your own walk. It was incredible. I remember telling the youth group guys, cause I'll be sharing the story with them. I remember telling them like, as much as I don't want you guys to ever have to go through something like this, I hope you go through something like this, because you go through the fire and you come out and you see God's goodness. And that's the only way you're going to really ever truly feel his embrace. And you get to learn about different aspects of him, which is so amazing. So, so ultimately it, it led to us eventually meeting. So I don't know, Crystal, if you want to.
Yeah. So let's go so back to Crystal. What, oh,
one more question. What, yeah. So only what year, around what year was this?
That okay. You were... So, okay. So we met
2015,
the end of 2015. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so she left the beginning of 2015.
Okay.
So it was a year of just,
So that's where that's where you were. Yeah. And so
you were working with the modeling agency.
Yes. Yep.
You were managing the models because those who can't model manage.
Burn.
Hey yo. Family show.
Rated G, guys. Rated G. I'm just kidding. Right. So you were working for the modeling agency.
Yes.
And then so from there. To this, mm-hmm. how did this happen? We'll ask. We'll go from Crystal because they have better memories.
That's right.
Maybe not.
So I guess to backtrack a little bit, I didn't remember this. My mom actually shared with me that I at some point in my, I think it was my teen years, that I at a concert went up and gave my life to Christ, but I didn't even really honestly remember that. And so fast forward back to around when I was managing, I had two long-term relationships. And at that point, I was in one of those long-term relationships. And so, like David, unfortunately, had found out unexpectedly that this person was being unfaithful through some messages with a bartender. He was a musician. And so I found out that on top of finding that a mutual close friend, he was also cheating on me with. And so that, I think, honestly had been a really pivotal point in my life. It sent me, I'm really thankful for that because it actually sent me down a darker road, which I feel like sometimes we have to hit that rock bottom to be able to really experience God. And so I was looking in all the wrong places for healing. And God planted a man as well in my life, first godly man that I've ever known, ever. And there was something different. And so I started to fall for God as I started to fall for this guy. And like any godly man should, started asking hard questions as well. Asked me when I gave my life to Christ. And again, I really didn't know. I didn't have a specific date or just remember that it was at a concert. And when I got baptized as a baby, you know, so like all those questions that it ended up being that although we were compatible in so many ways and he, you know, thought that I actually was a stronger Christian than I was, he saw how early I was in my walk. And so he told me that he couldn't be with me because we were unequally yoked. And at that point, I was so offended because, you know, being now I get it, but at that point I was so early in my walk.
How dare
I was like,
you.
What? Like, okay, you're lost. Like,
you don't understand. I own the yoke.
But thankfully, God was capturing my heart. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. And was still yearning for the Lord. And so that's what really led me on my journey to seeking God. And in that journey, I only had my mom and my aunt at this time that were believers. And so I asked my aunt in seeking, well, actually, I'm trying to think of the how this all kind of panned out. So I was seeking on my own, actually, God and just his word and praying and then reading about what it looked like to like walk with the Lord. And so in all of that, I also was learning about forgiveness. And so that my ex, this had kind of been a year long process where my ex had asked me for forgiveness and he had waited for me for about a year. And with the Lord working on my heart and really wanting to reconcile that, I had ended up getting back together with him. So we still, again, being early on in my journey, we ended up buying a house together and we were living together. But I was seeking to mend that relationship, but also seeking the Lord and trying to understand what that looked like. And so to obviously now knowing the Lord, conflicting situations. And so I asked my aunt, do you know, because what I really struggled with was like how to hear God and what it looked like to really walk with the Lord. And so I asked her if she knew of any classes or anything that somebody could, you know, help me in that. And she had a friend who went to Keystone, the church that David had mentioned earlier. And there was a class that they were doing called Starting Point. And that pastor, I'll be eternally grateful to him. His name is Joe Snyder. He did such a beautiful job. Really, God ultimately speaking through him helped me to finally understand. Like that day, I will never forget the date, 11/15/2015 is when I surrendered my life to Christ because it all clicked. Like that class, he's just an amazing combination of teacher, preacher. And I mean, I think Eric, that's why we love Eric so much. I think he is the same. And so Joe really helped me to understand what that looked like. And I was just done with all of it. And so I was like constantly in my war room, in my prayer closet, reading the word, and God was convicting me. He was starting to show me like your job is not drawing you closer to me. You're living with someone who you're not married to. You're in this relationship where you're unequally yoked. And so he gave me a very clear vision of me jumping out of a plane. And he was telling me like I needed to surrender it all. And I had zero support at this point. My mom, who was the one of the two Christians in my life, was like, you're crazy. And all of my friends, family, they're like, no, you're crazy. Like, because to the world, I had a beautifully reconciled relationship. And I had this awesome job and this house. And I had so many, like, especially in the city, because I was constantly down there, had so many connections and friends and all the things. So to the world, I looked like I had this beautiful life, but it wasn't. I was happy, but I didn't have that true joy that, you know, comes from the Lord. And so I just knew, and I felt so confident in doing that. And so I made that leap of faith, and I didn't know how I was going to pay my mortgage. I didn't know what that was going to look like. There were so many logistics and relationships that I lost because of it. But I gained the Lord. And that was like literally the most beautiful time in my life because I was fully dependent on him. And then he, in every step of the way, he provided. And he got me plugged into a community group that it was actually really cool. That's where our paths start to cross. And we didn't even realize because we were both chasing after the Lord just to get through, you know, like one, because we love the Lord, but also to get through our trials, our difficult times that we were going through, that we're running beside one another. And it was actually really cool because our community group, everybody in the group saw what God was doing, but we had no idea. And so,
to clarify, so we don't get too far ahead. Yeah, the cool thing was at the Starting Point class that Crystal attended on November 15th, I was there with the youth group guys,
but we didn't know each other.
I had no idea. I can remember where I was in the room. I was in the back with the guys and she was in the front. Mm-hmm. So we later come to find out we were in the same room that day, which is pretty cool.
That's great.
And the community group that I was a part of for probably about 5 years at this point, Crystal just happens to join or attend one night. Yeah. And,
just happens.
And this is the same year that I was going through everything I was going through. And literally, it had to be a guy thing because, like, you know, any other time in my life, I would be like, you know, chatting her up and, you know, or attempting to, probably. Oh, not very well, probably. attempt. But I literally was just like, I was kind of with the kids, I remember, because I had such a good relationship with all the families at the time. And towards the end, I remember, you know, saying, hey, nice, you know, that you came. Thanks for coming. Nice meeting you. If you need any, you know, help, prayers or anything like that, you know, we're here to help. And that was it. And it was like there was no, like, nothing in my mind, any kind of hidden agenda or anything like that. I was so, like Crystal said, so focused on God at that point. And so was she. Mm-hmm. But as she started to attend a little bit more, everyone in the group was like, hey, like, David, do you see this?
They're
right
like,
now?
Yeah. Hello.
Come on, man. Don't miss an opportunity, you know, what God's presenting. And it didn't take long. We God moves in amazing, mm-hmm. you know, awesome ways. We connected, you know, pretty quickly at that point, and started dating in January.
But I like really struggled. Like, I never thought I would really get married or commit. Like, I was, that's kind of weird to say I was in long-term relationships, but I think it was more to just have somebody there. And I never would, like, was there mentally, but meeting David and just being so close to the Lord, it was so cool to so confidently be like, yes, this is the man, like, that I'm going to marry. Like, we knew that, like David said, very quite quickly, I yeah. think.
Yeah. And, I've read a few verses down that really helped me during this time. One of the guys at this church, he told me, and this really was great, from 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, or some versions, or some, we'll use a sound mind. And I think that was really helpful through that past year. And even when the enemy starts to say, hey, like, are you sure? Can you really trust this person? Like, that fear starts to come in. And are you really worthy of love? Like, those kind of questions mm-hmm. started coming in. And when I first told her my story, the reaction that she had, like, that Crystal had for me.
Red flag.
Not at all, though.
I'm like, this is it. I'm like, honestly, I think it was the second night we really hung out. I'm like, let me just tell you my story, because, you know, if it's not going to, like, you know, if we can't get through this, that's not worth, I don't want to waste your time. Mm-hmm. If you have any kind of, you know, concerns or something like that. And so I share it, and she should have said that, but her reaction was the complete, like, it was like the gospel. It was through her reaction was God's love, you know, through her to me. And the fact that we both went through similar-ish, you know, mm-hmm. Cheatings and things like that, that, like, drew us together. We had, like, that comment, I'm never going to, like, I can promise you I'm never going to do it. I can understand what you're going through. Like, mm-hmm. it, you know, looking back at it, how God brought us together at the perfect timing, moving the chess pieces around. That's an analogy I like to say sometimes, is that I think in our minds we are playing checkers when God's playing chess.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we think one step ahead. When God's like, hey, I might have to sacrifice this pawn. I might have to give up this rook, but man, get ready. You're getting the queen. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it's, you know, it's awesome. So ultimately, that's where we ended up. And so, even some people look back at it and they might say, I had people tell me that you're moving too fast. But I heard from like, almost audibly from God, like, David, you chose that first relationship. I chose Crystal for you. So we started dating in January. I proposed 5 months later. We got married 3 months later after that. Got pregnant two months after that. Yeah. So, really, you know, when God, and at that point we were like, you were,
we knew what we didn't want and what we wanted.
So was like, we knew, and
well, you're older in life too, right?
Older in life, mm-hmm. We had peace, we had that deep connection with God. It was, there was no doubt. There was no, yeah.
I have to hear the engagement story.
Engagement story.
How did you propose?
That was good. Do you want to tell that, or should I tell
it? You can.
Nothing too crazy. I don't know.
I thought it was so sweet.
It was sweet. I had like rose petals throughout the house that, so basically that was,
you snuck
that
into my house.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. I don't want to get too deep into it, but, ultimately you moved in with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
I moved into, the house that ultimately wouldn't ever sell.
So that is a cool thing
we don't have to get all to the details of that.
Yeah.
Ultimately I was in the house that, eventually Crystal, once we got married, once we moved in together, I had like rose petals kind of like, you know, leading to different rooms of the house with flowers at each location with a little like Bible verse or something, mm-hmm. like a little message or note, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then it ultimately led to a room with some candles and a song that I thought, if you ever haven't heard of it, by Pat Barrett, who at the time he was the original, good father. Not Chris Tomlin, just to let you know about that.
I did know that.
He wrote a song, The Wick. If you ever heard The Wick.
Okay.
I mean, it's very just this like slow but deep and meaningful, very moving kind of song.
If we weren't on the mic, I would sing it for you.
We should. We stop recording. Yeah. Go for it.
My heart is the wick. Your love is the flame.
Love
and I want to burn for your name. Some of the lyrics there. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and with the candles burning too. We had that song playing. And that ultimately ended up actually being the song that Crystal walked down to in the aisle for.
So, like, album. Were you in the house then?
Yeah.
Is that where you're
into the house? And I was
she comes home. You come home and there's trash all over the floor, and you're like,
"Who beautiful rose
my house?" Yeah. And so you're following this, like, does this end with like you somewhere?
He's
with the candles.
Okay,
yeah.
With the wick going.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're
I kind
in there.
Of had a clue when I saw the rose petals and the candles. Yeah.
We had honestly like. Already talked about this because even though we're 5 months in, we pretty much knew. So we both knew this was gonna happen, and we didn't want to delay it any longer. So
Well, what's really cool is when you talked about like you both in bad relationships, and the enemy saw you both going down a road to follow the Lord, and he could have totally tried to destroy that.
Right.
And yet God still makes good out of it.
Right.
If we allow it. Mm-hmm. And so just to see, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that with us because.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're right. Cause the enemy really wanted me to be linked to that, to be my identity.
Right.
It's like, that's what's going to label me. And in a family that I grew up in, that was like kind of in this protected bubble where everything's good and nothing really wrong or bad ever happens. That was like very hard for me. Cause I didn't want to let my family down. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to let, my community down. What is that going to look like? Am I not,
right.
There's that shame that comes and guilt that comes with it. But God is such a great redeemer and all that. And he is an overcomer. And, just this week I was listening to, another awesome podcast, the Dad Tired podcast. And, they're going through Colossians, and in Colossians 3, I don't want to mess it up, but it's like the beginning of a verse that is going into more about how to act as believers. But if you catch the beginning of the verse in chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," and it goes on to like say things like be kind and humble and gentle, and you get kind of like. You go to that list of things, but if you focus on the first part, it's so powerful. Therefore, as God's chosen people, so that's the identity part of it that really helped me through this whole time. Is that my identity is not there? My identity is I'm chosen by God. My identity is I'm made holy through God through my faith in Jesus. My identity is that I'm loved by our Creator, and so that to your point, Chad, it was like it's so cool to see God's work in it.
Yeah, I had to spend so much time in that war room in my closet praying and really allowing God to redeem my past, to be prepared, for what he had for me. And I'm just so grateful to have walked through that.
Yeah.
So you guys get married and you're still in the Philadelphia suburbs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many years are you living? So you had your first child 11 months after your...
Right.
A little more than that. Yeah, 11 months after.
Yep.
You're married.
Yes.
Then what happens?
So that was
so
a test.
Go ahead
of...
and tell us your kids and their names so everybody knows
Ella,
that.
Rose. Ella means light. We chose that name because we just wanted that to be her to know that that she is a light for the Lord. And she was born on July 7th, July 6th. I'm thinking 7-6. 7-6 next year. What else after that?
And so that when we had Ella, actually, we had moved in with my mom. So we had gone through Dave Ramsey's financial peace course, and we chose to do that to pay off my student loan debt, which was such a wise but challenging test of our marriage, moving in with my mom. Like, that's, God bless her. But But yeah, so that was an experience. But we're so grateful that she did welcome us into her home, and that allowed us to be set up, you know, financially, and even to to this day to be able to be home with the kids and stuff like that. But so that led us. Then we ended up, once we had paid off our debt, we bought a home in Bluebell, our own home. And then that's where we ended up having our son, Aiden, and he was born September 8th of 2019. God knows I'm not good with names and dates, because Aiden is 9'8", Ella is 7'6", and I'm 6'5". So it makes it easy for me. Wow. David throws it off. He's 7'17". But
So then we were there in our Bluebell house for about 2 years, not thinking anything was going to change. We thought things were settling down. We're good. Like we're getting comfortable here. And then I get this message from an old classmate of mine who lives, she knew I was up from, I lived in this area, and said, "Hey, I work in, at UPMC in Williamsport, and one of our audiologists is looking to transfer back to her hometown. We're going to have an opening at some coming up here soon. Would you be interested? You know, we're going to need someone." And I was like, "Oh man, we're actually finally starting to get settled. What do we think here?" This was in the beginning of May, of 2021.
But prior to that, too, there was an opportunity that had arose up here, and I was like, "No, like I don't know. I'm a city girl," and it just the thought of Bloomsburg. Yes, right. I was just at that point. I didn't feel peace with it. But this time, when this one had come around, I surprisingly, like right off the bat, just felt that peace from God. Like this is what we were supposed to do.
Real quick, David. Yeah. For those of us that don't know, what's an audiologist do?
Audiologist. So, we specialize in testing and diagnosing hearing loss and conditions with hearing. And at UPMC, I test from young ages, even less than a year old, sometimes up to geriatric populations. And so there's the hearing loss aspect. There's also the inner ear plays a key role in our balance system. So we do balance testing as well. So there's all different types of diagnostics you can get into with that.
No, that's good. I just know the chat didn't know.
Yeah, and then we also do like
just throw them under the bus.
I didn't, but I was gonna Google it when I got home.
I love the other side of the hearing aid side of it, where we actually get to help and actually see the treatment come through. And so to me, with audiology, that's another cool God thing. Even though I wasn't really walking deep with God at the time in high school, to know to even ask God, where are you calling me? It ended up being a really cool occupation for me, because I always loved math and science. I always knew I wanted to help people in some way. But in high school, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I remember going to different colleges at the time and having to declare your major whenever you do like a tour. And I would declare math, I would declare science or bio. I did psychology because I considered counseling, engineering at one point. So I did all these different things. And looking back at it, audiology actually encompasses almost all those things, because there's a science, there's a math component, there's a counseling, I even considered education. And that's probably one of my favorite parts of it. My twin brother is a teacher. So I think we both have that drive to teach and educate. So I love like going over the results and helping patients really understand what's going on here, and educating and their spouse and getting them included into, hey, how is this going to affect you, and communication, what's that look like? And so there's a lot of really cool components that I think God was kind of nudging me, you know, towards, even though I wasn't really deeply involving him through that. So I'm very thankful to find a career that allows me to, you know, help. And even in this area too, it allows me to even bring up faith and bring up God a little bit more, you know, somewhat more easily too. And that's always a positive thing whenever I get a chance to, share, my, you know, faith a little bit and all that kind of good stuff.
Go back to the UPMC. So then you were getting, you're a colleague from, I'm sorry, a friend from high school.
Or you're right. A colleague, a classmate of grad school.
Okay.
Who works at UPMC.
Gotcha.
Me. Yep. And then, the second hardest conversation I ever had in my life was telling that my boss, who I had been at this prior practice now for about 8 or 9 years, she brought me in as a fresh out of grad school and pretty much took me under her wing, kind of potentially, you know, maybe one day taking over the business. And that was always a possibility. I always thought that'd be awesome, but I always had some reservation with that because it's this like huge undertaking to be your own business owner.
And at
this point, this practice was huge, and there's a lot to do with that. So having that conversation with her was really hard because we had, you know, developed a good relationship at this point. But ultimately we felt that peace and that calling to say, yep, we'll make the leap and head up to Bloom. And that's where my family's located again, where I was raised. So my parents, both my brothers, my older brother has 6 kids. And so being, you know, a little more connected and closer to family was a huge draw.
Around what year was that?
So this was 3 years ago, almost to the day now. Yeah.
Wow.
Really, 3 years ago. And the other cool thing was, too, I won't spend too much time on it, but again, it's just to give God glory because his hand was in. This was right at the heat of the housing like market boom where people were overpaying and outbidding and all this kind of stuff. It would have been to live down there 2 hours away, having to come up here regularly to try to find a house and look for houses and overspending would have been a nightmare. Wouldn't you know it, before I even had the interview, on the same street that I grew up on, a neighbor of mine, the neighbor on the street, was getting ready to sell a house. And so he found out that I might have this chance to even come back up to the area. And he said, hey, if you guys want to look at it while you're up this weekend, let me know. So Chris and I go over this weekend or the one weekend, check it out. It, you know, totally meets our needs right in the range we're looking and everything like that without even having to go through a realtor in the heat of all that stuff.
Wow. That's definitely such a blessing. God,
just like, here you go.
That's an answer to prayer.
Yeah,
like,
pray our prayer whenever you have big decisions that we have to take a step in is God, close the door if it's not meant to be.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Even like when we started dating, one of our friends was like, hey, I'll pray for God's hand over. I can't pray for you and Crystal to be together.
Yeah.
I can only pray for God's hand or his will.
His will to be done. Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that's kind of mean at first. And
but we get it now. We get it. Our prayer constantly.
Yeah. I'm like, God, if you know, close the door. I don't even want to be near Bloomsburg if you don't want us there. And sure enough, I mean, to sell a house down there, and then move up in here within like 2 months, there was just so much chaos with that. And it was, but UPMC provided a moving company and everything. Like, so it just made it so much, you know, it made it doable. And nice. God's was all over that too. So ultimately we came back up here pretty much 3 years ago and we've been here.
It's so great when you're like, okay, I feel like he's telling me this.
Yeah.
And then he gives you that confirmation through something like that. Right. And you're like, okay,
yeah,
we are hearing him, right? Because sometimes we like, you know, the enemy gets in your ear.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe you're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you aren't supposed. And then that happens and you're like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
God's definitely moving here. So when you move back to this area, did you go to church? Did you find a church right away?
We did.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, with what you were saying is I love that, Chad, because I feel like oftentimes when the enemy is attacking us the most is when we are on God's path. And it's almost affirming when he's like really trying to get that's to you, because makes me think back to even the night before our wedding. That was probably the greatest attack we both felt. We didn't know because we weren't together. And then after the fact, we talked about how hard the enemy tried to get us both to rethink our decision ultimately. And that was like such a powerful, because we were both working with the youth at that time, and it was just like a beautiful.
I'm so glad you brought that.
It was the
most, like, I don't know when you say oppressed, but like the most attacked. Like the enemy was just like doing anything. Like he was saying, he was in my head, you're not going to be able to think about anything but your past tomorrow. You're gonna be when you're next to Crystal, you're gonna be thinking about your ex. When she's walking down the aisle, you're not gonna be able to think anything but what happened before. He was just throwing
and for me,
so
like the
lies.
Fears of like my parents' relationship and all the thing, you know, just stirring up all of that. And it was cool because like we both actually said, in Jesus' name, we cast out the enemy. Like we just continuously, like in Jesus' name, over and over. And like it was just so powerful, though, to be able to overcome that, walk down that aisle, and just see God's glory and the youth. Like, it was just
led worship before the service.
The most beautiful. Awesome.
There's that song, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble.
Yes. Mm.
That song, I always think of that night before.
Yes.
Because it's like the power of Jesus. If anyone has not just like, God wants us to pray with that power.
Yes.
And
it's in us.
If we tap into that Holy Spirit, it changes everything.
Yeah. So thank you for that triggered that.
No, that's great, though, because he's in the fire with us. We sang it. I can't remember how the song, but we sang it the other week here in the church, and I was like, I was super emotional when we were singing it.
Fire.
Like, he's in there with us.
In the fire. Yeah. Yep. Standing next to
sing
me.
It, girl. Sing it. We'll get you signed. We get 10%. We get 10%.
But then that ultimately led us to where are we at now in the story.
Oh, yeah. What were you?
When you came back, you went to church.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I was, I grew up where, let's see, my, one of my high school friends, Tim Carnes, was a worship leader over at LCBC. So we kind of just like, hey, that's the, someone we knew. I felt comfortable, with him and just got connected there for a while.
And it was a nice transition for the kids too. So they use the same curriculum that our old church used. Mm. So it was smooth for them. And we were there for how long?
Well, we've been here almost a year, so about 2 years. Then,
about 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we just felt God calling us to, just something a little bit more, something a little bit deeper and a little different. And so glad we, before that even, Crystal came across or met with Brittany Anderson. I forget how you connected with her. So we homeschool our kids. Crystal does, primarily. I help out on Thursdays when I'm home. But she made a contact early on somehow, I think through homeschooling some way, with Brittany Anderson. And then at some point down the road, we heard about the Vacation Bible School. And that's where that was the first time we came here. We brought the kids to
last year.
Yeah.
With the
that was a really good VBS.
Twists and turns. Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Man.
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man was the bomb.
Yeah. It was good.
That guy.
It's about them, Mike, not you.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I forget sometimes.
I forget, what was the song when you made the letters?
The kids loved it. They actually just snuck in here. Yeah. Did you love VBS? You wanna say something else?
That one was a cardio workout. I remember that.
So that was our first, introduction to BCC. Yeah. And so we decided to, which I'm really glad, I'm really thankful for, they invited the kids back, and Ella loves being up on stage. She loves singing and dancing and just sharing her talents that way. Don't you, Ella?
She's saying she wants to say hello. Is that okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Here.
Take over.
Come over here.
Hi.
That's my sweet Ella.
She's a light.
Yes.
So we came back that Sunday after VBS, and they got a chance to go up on stage, and then we got to hear, Eric and here get the full experience of what BCC has to offer, and we just kind of just kept coming back and we found just the the diving deeper into the word, the verse by verse. I love going verse, but I love topical sermons is great, but to me the even just going through Romans verse by verse and just getting richer into it,
being able to take communion powerful. Every week is so important. We were definitely seeking that depth
and a good kids program.
Amazing.
Great kids program.
What do you think? You love it here, right? She's smiling.
And for any guys listening out there, I got to say too, I was told about it, but just kind of for whatever reason hesitated for a little bit longer than I probably should have. But the Catalyst men's Bible study, I have honestly never been in any men's Bible study that goes anywhere as deep and as raw, as real as that I've seen since I've been going there. I'm so encouraged by... so Chad, gracefully leads us in that, and I'm so thankful for that because that takes time to prepare. I know you're not you got a busy schedule. Even just doing this, I really don't know how you have all the time in the world to do all this kind of stuff. But somehow you make it. So I appreciate that. And just I'm so encouraged by the guys that come out and they share what God's saying to them and opening up the Word and they're referencing this and referencing that. It's just like. It's really good. It's really good stuff. So if you haven't been out to it, that's for any guys out there. I highly encourage it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's great to have you there.
Yeah.
You've been a blessing to our group.
Cool.
And, it's a great opportunity for us guys to get together and be able to speak. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, early on, I did a lot of talking and it takes a while, especially for guys to open up.
Right.
But that's in there and it's been fantastic to be part of, and God put that on my heart maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Been a slow process, but sometimes it takes that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So what's next, I guess, for you guys here at the church or in life, or do you have any ideas, or just open to whatever God is?
They're going to announce baby number 3.
Whoa. Yeah, that is a testimony to God. We can keep that one short, but really God's will ultimately. So we've, since having Aiden, experienced 4 miscarriages, two over this past year, and it's been a journey that God's had us on. And so we are grateful though to see again his beauty that he can bring from ashes and the redemption that he can, and the way that he can use each of those trials, those lives, and to just see the way that he's just revealing himself to not only us, but our children. Yeah. So right now, being able to be home and homeschool, I'm not sure what's next. We're just waiting on God, really, honestly. Yeah. Unless you're hearing anything over there.
I heard Sunday school teacher for the youth, but
I heard that in there too.
I didn't hear that one. Huh,
weird. Don't worry, I heard it loud and clear. We'll talk later.
Yeah, I mean I think that's always it's a good thing to always just be pressing in, I think the enemy, that's another area the enemy tries to keep you from stepping into more and deeper and more uncomfortable things. I feel like once you get uncomfortable, life is better in many ways.
Yeah.
I think that's we'll just kind of keep it open and see where God leads with it. So,
is there anything that we didn't ask you that you're like on your heart that you felt like you wanted to share coming in?
That's a good question.
He's the first one to have notes.
Yeah, so we built through this, and it's honestly...
Whoa! Oh my goodness!
Because I get really bad anxiety, and this is just me being completely honest.
There's like 17 pages of notes next to me.
So I have to
single-space typed out.
I used to go blank when I would have to public speak. Not that this is necessarily public speaking, but kind of. And so, yes, I was prepared. But David's prayer, the Holy Spirit eased me, and I didn't even look at him.
Yeah.
God just speaks.
And I think we both kind of did that with the purpose of, yes, to kind of help make, and almost to your point, Chad, I must not try not to forget something, but it's really our story is so much that we didn't want to miss, because it's such a cool opportunity that you guys provide for all these families. We don't want to miss the opportunity to give God the glory he deserves. And so there's so much goodness. And it's like, we could have, there's even more little
personal stuff. Oh, so much. Yeah, it's hard to.
But just, it's, for this purpose, I think the one verse I wanted to bring up that was so, I don't know, I loved this verse. That was, I think throughout my whole life now, or later in life now, I'm kind of just realizing more and more, if we can take our mind and our vision off of the transient, temporary, earthly things and focus on the eternal things. I know there's a Bible verse that says that, and this is one of them from 2 Corinthians. It says, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And I mean, it's just like, man, when you hear something like that, any affliction you go through, any trouble, it's preparing. It's doing something that we can't really even explain right now. But it's like it's working out something that, we're going to be able to reap something from eternally. And if we can involve God in that, in these moments here, it's so powerful. And if we can shift our focus off of these things that we really can't even control, it's like, man, just give it to God and and he's going to use it and for our good, his glory. And yeah, I just wanted to, I love that verse. So that's one more I wanted to share.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So
where'd Ella go? Oh, she left.
She left.
I was going to have her end it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say from us, we're excited and happy that you're part of this church family, that God's brought you to this building. You've added a lot to it. And it's just nice. Such a blessing to have all the new families and all the new faces that we have. It's telling us that God's moving in this building, and that we got to stay focused on what He has for us as a church, because good things will happen. So thank you.
Thank you.
For being able to share your story with us today, and to be able to kind of light on what God's done in your life.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And so, light the fire. And so, I just want that Holy Spirit passion fire.
It does. You guys are amazing. You really are. Both of you.
We don't have it all together.
No, not at all. None of us do.
No, yeah. No one does. No one's fooling anybody here.
Thank you guys for that.
We're equally grateful.
Thank you guys.
For you and the church.